How do you do? Fear hath torment, the Bible says, and the woman in this story can vouch for that. For many years, she was tormented by fear so debilitating she attempted suicide many times and was hospitalized more than 13 times in 10 years. Today, however, she is unafraid of the future, unafraid of telling others how her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Hello?
Joy, Emilio's dead.
What?
He was killed in a plane crash.
How do you know that, Christina?
I heard it on the radio. A plane crash with two Americans on board.
Maybe it wasn't Emilio.
No, it was. I know it was.
Calm down, Christina. I'm sure you're mistaken.
No, he was killed. I have to go to him. I have to find
Christina,
him.
Christina, go home now and don't worry about
it. Oh, you don't understand. You never understand. I can't live without him.
Lighting the darkness with true life stories that proclaim the good news, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced before a live audience by Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. This time of year is especially brutal for the homeless. Plagued by the cold and memories of better days, they come to Pacific Garden Mission expecting very little, but receiving very much. A warm welcome, nourishing food, a safe bunk and clean clothing, even medical and dental care if needed, and everything is given free, thanks to the generosity of those who give financially to keep the doors open day and night. The old lighthouse shines forth the light of God's love to despairing people, and those who receive new life find the way out of darkness and hope for the future, like the woman in this story. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2708 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Emilio? I thought you were dead. Oh, there was a plane crash and I thought you were on board.
Christina, you're really nutso.
I'm sorry, Emilio.
Didn't I tell you to stay away?
But I had a dream that you would be in the war that's coming.
Ouch.
And I had to warn you.
Go away.
Wait, Emilio, wait. I promise I won't get wrapped up in my intelligence ever again.
Leave me alone.
The woman in our story never knew her father, who divorced her mother right after she was born. The youngest of four children, she grew up in Philadelphia, which claims to be the city of brotherly love, but love and peace eluded her for many years. This is the story of a woman who calls herself Christina Alexandra, and how she was transformed, right now on Unshackled.
I was four when I lost the will to live and took my tricycle to the top of a hill and rode down, hoping to lose control, which I did. Falling over the handlebars, I hit my head. Life got worse over the years. I felt like an alien who was never loved or accepted by my family. Nothing I did ever seemed to please my mother. I was smoking pot at 14, the year my grandmother died, the year my illness manifested itself.
I explained it very carefully, Christina.
No, you didn't, Mother. That's not what you said.
Christina, you're the bane of my life. Why can't you be like the others?
I'm not the one who's out of step.
You are. You're the only one who can't see it.
Why are you looking at me like that? You hate me. All of you hate me. I'm the sacrifice on the family altar.
Oh, you're sick. We don't hate you, Christina. I love you, but I really don't like you very much.
Oh,
I think you should get help. See a psychiatrist.
There's nothing wrong with me. You just hate me. I wish I were dead.
The sleeping pills I took, one after another, sent me into another world from which my mother summoned me. I tried to get up, but couldn't walk. As she and my sister drove me to the hospital, I wondered if part of my intelligence was gone. There at the hospital, I ripped out the IV line and shattered the bottle, so they strapped me down and gave me a shot. Days and nightmares went by. A disinterested doctor released me, and I went back to school, but that, too, had become a fearful experience.
I've got to find... find another school.
What's wrong now?
Everyone looks at me as if I'm a curiosity.
You're imagining it.
I'm not. My best friend dropped me because I'm too popular.
But what about the concert band?
I can play the flute anywhere.
Christina, how do you expect to excel academically if you switch now?
I'm on the honor roll, and I already have a scholarship to music school. I can go anywhere and make new friends.
You'll never have any friends, Christina. You're too different.
One of the best private girls' schools in Pennsylvania gave me a scholarship, but there my social life was eradicated, ignored by the haughty girls. I became a loner, hating my roommate. Nevertheless, I was admitted to Cornell University in the Advanced Placement Program, where I studied psychology and art. I loved to paint, but didn't fit in there either. By then, at Mother's insistence, I was seeing a psychiatrist.
Your kingdom?
Yes, my kingdom with its castle surrounded by velvety hills. That's why I wear this medieval dress. I'm a princess.
Who is with you in your castle?
My lover. He's dark and enigmatic, and he takes me there on a strong black horse. Even now, I feel the pounding hooves and his strong arm holding me.
Do you go there often?
All the time. All the time. I love the beautiful colors, the peace, the spiral staircase, each room, you know, with different decorations.
Christina, what about your classes?
The princess is flunking out. Last year she had A's and B's, but now she's flunking out. But it doesn't matter, though. She's loved.
Christina, your doctor has advised me that you have two options. Either you spend Christmas with your father, or you must be admitted to a psychiatric hospital for treatment.
What is this, some kind of joke?
You need help.
But I've never met my father.
Well, your doctor thinks you need to.
Well, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me.
After Christmas, my mother and sister take me to the psychiatric hospital where I feel trapped and hear the patients and nurses talking about me. I don't even understand their language. I'm called into a room full of doctors and nurses who stare at me and ask questions. I spend hours and days and months in therapy, diagnosed as schizophrenic. 18 months later, I'm transferred to a building with relaxed security. One day, my sister calls.
Christina. You can make day trips now, can't you?
Yes, I need to get out and do something.
Well, Mom saw a piece in the paper about professional cheerleader tryouts.
What's that all about?
Oh, they're looking for cheerleaders for Philadelphia's football team.
Are you gonna do it?
Well, I thought you might like to try out. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Might be interesting. I'll see if I can get a pass.
I'll come and get you.
900 girls tried out for 20 positions, and I made all the cuts, each day getting a pass to learn the routines, each night returning to the hospital. Finally, I was released to live at home. When the big day arrived, I was chosen to be one of the cheerleaders. The crowds frightened me, but I finished the season as a cheerleader. Then I got my own apartment and job as a restaurant hostess. Still paranoid, I heard condemnation and snatches of conversation everywhere, at work, on the streets, even on the radio. Then I met Emilio, and oh, how I loved him, but my love was not reciprocated.
Emilio here.
Hi, Emilio. This is Christina.
Oh, it's you.
I just called you up to see how you're doing.
Well, I'm very busy right now.
Are you going to Chaucer's tonight?
Oh, fun city, Christina.
Did you get my gift?
Yes, and I had the bomb squad check it out. You know, I really don't like you, Christina. I think you're nuts.
But, Emilio? Hello? Hello?
Many times I call and he hangs up on me, but my passion survives his rejection. I wander the streets aimlessly at all hours, looking for him and see him everywhere. I dance at clubs till they close and then forget where I am. On the streets, I begin preaching to people about their need to love each other. I'm a messenger from God. About that time, my sisters decide we should go to Boston and meet our father. The trip is a disaster. We talked to Mom about it a few days later.
So, girls, how did it go?
He didn't want to see us.
We invited him to have dinner with us, but he refused.
I expected that.
After we drove all that way.
Was he amazed that you found him?
I don't know. We went to his office and surprised him. He certainly wasn't expecting us at all.
Serves him right. Oh, what was he like?
He looks so old, Mom. I'd feel sorry for him if he hadn't been so rude.
Well, he didn't want to be reminded what a scoundrel he was, running out on us. He already wrote me a letter telling me not to send my children up there again, or he'll call the police to take you away.
I was indifferent towards my father, but steadfast in my search for love. We went to a mainline church, but whenever I tried to read the Bible, I didn't understand it. Somehow I sensed that Jesus was the key, but how? A little voice in my head began telling me in secretive tones to get out and preach because I was the second Christ. I headed for the hospital where my sister worked. Can I help you? I've been sent out to love others.
Hey, baby, I could use a little love.
Love Jesus. Don't be angry. All you have to do is love Jesus.
Never mind him. What about you?
Christina, what are you doing here?
I'm here to preach to patients.
Oh, you can't do that.
Oh, no, you don't understand. I have to preach to the patients so they will get better.
Christina, hey, don't go in there. Security guard!
My madness bloomed, and I was seeking new outlets for expression. Emilio, God, love for humanity. My paintings reflected the confusion of my heart, and I would throw down my brush and run the streets breathlessly. Drivers made gestures, warning me. Were they planning to kill me? Back in my apartment where the phone had been turned off for 6 months, I hid under a table. The days had grown shorter when Mother appeared at the door, asking if I'd like to go for a drive in the country with my sister. I knew something was wrong.
Where is the entrance?
There it is.
The state mental institution? No, no, no! Let me go!
Ow!
No, let me go!
Oh, stop her!
I'll never forgive you for this!
Christina was about to receive help in changing her mind. These unshackled stories are also translated into 5 foreign languages: Arabic, Spanish, Romanian, Russian, and Polish. Today we have some encouraging responses from the Arabic translation that is broadcast in America and the Middle East. One of the listeners from Sudan wrote, "I live and work in Sudan for 2 years now. I like Unshackled, and I enjoy hearing the good stories. I am praying for you. There is much work to do for the Lord in this land." Another listener from Saudi Arabia wrote, "I listened to Unshackled for the first time a few weeks ago, and I enjoy listening to it. These stories are great blessings to my life." From Lebanon, a young lady wrote, "I am a young Christian, and I need your prayers. I am dating a young man who wants to marry me, but he drinks and spends time in the club. I listen to Unshackled, and I know the value of having Christ in the home. Please pray for me that God will give me directions." And another listener in Saudi Arabia wrote, "I am 15 years old. I enjoy your stories. I am trying to be a good only son for my mother after the death of my father." The smile came back to her face after she began to listen to Unshackled. To learn more about our Arabic ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your mailing address.
Good and evil were fighting for dominance in my head as I was tested and questioned, and then came the needle full of drugs. Seconds later, a shockwave of horror swept through my body, and I began screaming in agony. When the nurse left to get more drugs, I slipped into the bathroom and used the belt from my robe to hang myself. As I dangled there, my first thought was to ask for God's forgiveness.
What have you done? Get me something to cut her down! Code blue!
I'm in different hospitals, rooms with no furniture but a mattress on the floor. People stare at me, conspiring to kill me. I'm strapped down, unable to move, desperately wanting to die.
Sinister voices in my head are so terrifying, I can't even cry. Somebody help me.
I asked for a Bible that I read constantly but couldn't understand. After months of therapy, the voices stopped and I went home again. For 2 years, I suffered depression. Then a therapist put me on a drug that triggered another psychotic episode, and my sister rushed me to the hospital. The voices were back. In a panic, I asked to use the payphone and called my mother.
Christina, what's going on?
Don't you understand, Mother? We're going to hell. The voices have told me.
Oh, Christina, not again. I can't take anymore.
You don't know what this is like. I want to die. I want to die.
Oh.
Mom? Hello, Mom?
Christina, Mom's fainted.
In a rush, I realized what Mother meant to me. I walked back to my room and huddled on the mattress that lay on the floor. There, I prayed my first unselfish prayer. God, please let my mother go to heaven, and please release me from this psychosis. Within seconds, the voices died away, leaving me astonished. I had several more attacks set off by new drugs, but then a new psychiatrist.
4 weeks and no bad symptoms, Christina.
Yes, but I'm always on the edge, expecting a new attack.
Well, there's some evidence that the last attack was a seizure, so the new meds should help.
When will I feel normal?
Well, try living your life as if you are normal. Keep painting. What are you up to with your art?
I paint every day.
I'd like to see what you're doing. You have great talent as an artist.
I've made a friend in an art gallery. He admires my work as well.
Everyone admires the painting you gave me, too. Your colors are wonderful.
Thank you. I respect your opinion.
I'm glad to hear you're getting out more. The new medicine is easing the agoraphobia then, yeah?
Yes, I test my thoughts to see if they match reality.
Mm-hmm. What about your music?
Well, I'm talking to a company about recording some music.
Christina, have you thought about writing about your experiences? That would be cathartic for you.
Perhaps I will. I really like to write.
Ah, well, here's a copy of my book. Now, you start writing your own.
His gentle encouragement was important in my healing, and I began writing about my life. My life was stilted and cautious, but the psychotic episodes were diminishing. Another man who inspired me was a well-known art critic who praised my work and urged me to pursue art as a career. He affected my life in several ways.
I came here from Hungary, Christina. You would not believe the tyranny of communism.
You were persecuted, Alfred?
Yes. The communists came to my home, threw me in a truck, and took me to a place where I was chained to a wall. At one point, they dragged me to a room and injected me with a drug. On the far side of the room, I could see a pile of corpses.
How did you survive?
I prayed intensely for God to deliver me, and he did. I survived.
That happened to me, too. I prayed during a time of great stress and felt that God helped me. I'd never experienced anything like it before.
God is real, Christina.
Yes.
And he is good.
Yes.
I survived because he protected me from death.
He was a man who had endured a private nightmare, not unlike psychosis, which made me hope that God would deliver me from the bondage of my insanity. I talked to my therapist about these ideas.
What is it about God that concerns you?
Should I be afraid of seeking him? Will people think I'm psychotic again?
No, I encourage you to seek God, Christina. Steer toward Christianity. It would help you. But there are many kinds of churches, so find one that's right for you.
I've tried reading the Bible, but I just don't understand it. I think about heaven and hell a lot, though.
Well, look around for a good church and start looking for a job, too. Work can be therapeutic.
Mother and I go for long walks together, and she also thinks I should get a job.
And?
And I've been praying, asking God to help me get a babysitting job close enough to walk to with a good salary, caring for children over 2 years of age.
Well, is that all?
God answered my prayer and gave me a job caring for children who live just around the corner from us. Both parents were doctors. I had been babysitting for them for 2 years, and one afternoon I turned on the radio and scanned the dial for something of interest. I stopped when I heard a man preaching.
Nicodemus wanted to know he could be born again when he was old. He wondered if it was possible to return to the womb of his mother again, but Jesus was speaking of new birth from above. He assured Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that new life must come from God. My friend, you can also know for sure that you are saved and going to heaven. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Your good works won't get you into heaven, only the blood of Christ Jesus. If you have any doubt whatsoever about your spiritual condition, call us right now, and we'll help you know what God teaches about your condition. Get a pencil and write down this number. Pastor Turner here.
Hi, my name is Christina, and I'm confused. What do you mean by born again?
Oh, well, Christina, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 say, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You see, Christina, it's a new birth. It's a spiritual birth.
That's in the Bible?
Oh, yes, and there's more. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And Christina, that means instantly.
So many verses.
I've just begun. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And verse 47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Don't take my word for it, Christina. Read the Bible and see for yourself.
I've tried reading the Bible. I don't understand it, but I like the verses you read.
Well, God's word is life. But you must be born again. And God says in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
What do I do? How do I get this new life?
Christina, you can come to Jesus Christ personally, right now, right where you are. If you really want to be born again, then I'll lead you in a prayer, but you must mean it with all of your heart.
Okay, I want to pray.
Good. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am not good. I have sinned a great deal.
I cannot save myself. Please forgive me and come into my life. Give me the free gift of eternal life, and give me the Holy Spirit to live in me so that I can live for you. With that prayer, my whole life began to change. I began attending his church every week, and his wife took me under her wing. Since I was impoverished at the time, she gave me clothes, drove me to church, and even came to my apartment for Bible study.
Christina, this is for you.
Thanks, Linda. What is it?
A Bible concordance.
Oh, I've wanted one. Thanks.
And these are some more clothes that might fit you.
I'm very grateful.
What is that music you're listening to?
Ooh, my favorite rock group. You probably don't know them.
Nor should you, Christina. As a Christian, you shouldn't choose to listen to the world's music.
Really? I'll turn it off.
God says, "Be holy because he is holy. He is our Father and we are to become like him." Our study today is in 1 John. We'll see what God has to say. Look at chapter 2, verses 15 and 16.
"Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
It's something we all have to learn when we come to faith in Christ. We are bought with a price, and our lives belong to Him. Ask yourself, would Jesus listen to that?
No. You're right, Linda.
There is no condemnation of you. Remember that. You are in Christ.
What about the book I'm writing?
If it's a work of idolatry, then it wouldn't honor God. But if it honors Him, He will use it to help others, as He did you.
As I grew in faith, drawing closer to the Lord Jesus, my psychotic symptoms began to disappear. Life became joyful, orderly, and fruitful. In addition to the Lord, I owed so much to my good doctor.
Well, Christina, how's everything going?
Great. On my way here, I always stop at the 30th Street station and witness to people.
What do you say?
I approach them politely and ask, "Do you know what was the best thing that ever happened to me?" Most of them are interested. Then I say, "The best thing was when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior."
Has anyone been hostile or offended?
Rarely. Most are curious and ask questions. Then I can tell them about the joy He's given to me and the new peace of mind. I can talk about the wonderful truths I found in the Bible and how it applies to my life every day.
Christina, you're very different from the girl who once preached on the street.
I didn't know Jesus then. What a difference He made in my life. I had a vague notion that love was the answer. I just didn't realize it was God's love that I needed. I received Christ as my Savior in 1988, and my life has grown steadily better as biblical principles supplanted my warped thinking. In 1999, I married a man whom I led to the Lord, and he has encouraged me in ministry, working on Christian art books. I finished the book about my 5 lost years as a schizophrenic, and it was published, giving glory to the Lord Jesus who set me free. It's my life's purpose to tell other suffering souls about God's grace and love. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Listening friend, you with a troubled heart, that power and love are for you. What seems impossible to you is possible with God. Jesus came to set the captives free. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Discover for yourself the freedom and joy of knowing the Lord by inviting Christ into your heart and life right now. If you need counsel in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please visit our website, unshackled.org. This is program number 2708. Heard in the true story of Christina Alexandra were Nancy Sellers, Mercedes DeMunk, Anna Maria Alvarez, Judy LaRose, Howard Friedland, David Stewart, and Brad Armacost. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.